This week on The Chirp, the feature guest basking in the glow of Tom Brady's seventh championship, Connor Garland from Boston, but plays in Arizona, and he's even had a brush with greatness. Not exactly what you might expect, though. We'll explain that. How Connor looks bigger when he's trying to impress people, becoming a National Hockey League player. Great story. Is his height on NHL.com actually accurate, though? And who calls him first when he beaks the other team's goalie and gets tackled? Yeah, that actually happened. Both those things. It's The Chirp. So roll that intro, Bobby.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know. Don't say anything stupid.
What are you going to do? You!
Really growing on me, Stammer. Really starting to grow on me.
Got hot. Going once, going twice. Sold. Got hot.
Welcome to the pod, everybody. Looking forward to this week's episode with Connor Garland, who I had never met before we did this interview. And I'll be curious if you think that we're lifelong buddies now that we've hung out, because it sure does feel like Connor Garland and I are on the same page. It's The Chirp with Darren Millard and with producer Robert Bob Bender. Bobby, how are you, pal?
What's going on, Darren? I didn't realize that was the first time you spoke to Garland. Seemed like you guys were best friends.
Yeah, I come across that way with a lot of people because you know what you do with best friends? You try and get rid of them as fast as possible. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to talk to you again 1,000 times. Let's just do this later. But no, Connor's a lot of fun. There's some places that I didn't expect to get into with Connor in that interview. Some places I did. And we recorded the interview, by the way, before the Super Bowl. And Connor's a big Tom Brady fan. So we kind of start off on football and you might wonder, hey, why aren't they talking about the great win? Well, that's why. But we do touch on it. And also him working out in the shadow of greatness. I don't know. Have you ever had brushes with greatness?
Every time I record this show with you, Darren, I feel like I'm having a brush with greatness. Absolutely.
I talked about the lacrosse school because that's a new thing. Sid tried it. Max Comtois tried it the other day. It seems to be more mainstream. So we get into that a little bit and we'll touch on it after the conversation. And because John Shannon, my buddy from Hockey Night in Canada, and I used to work with him at Rogers, kind of stirred the pot a little bit. And I've got something to say on the back end of that. But one area, because you're a Newark area guy and you dug out of the snowstorm, you're tough as nails. Who's the best team, like between the Islanders, the Devils, and the Rangers right now? You're closer to it than I am, and I'm trying to figure it out. You've got one team that's kind of disappointing, one team's that, and the other team has been better than I thought.
It's tough to tell right now, Darren. February 8th, 2021, who's the best team in the tri-state area? I'm a Rangers fan, so maybe there's a little bias there. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to tell. Rangers started the season poorly. They've played a little bit better thus far as of late. The Islanders going into the season, right? We all thought the Islanders were going to be the best team in New York. Playoff yeah. team last year, Eastern Conference final.
Great
Barry
coach.
Trotz.
Yeah.
Right? And the Devils have been a surprising team. So right
misses
now,
so many players. Right, they their goaltender's been out. They're on the third mm-hmm. and the fourth string goalies. Like, wow.
I hate to flip the question to you, but who do you think is the best team right now?
The best team is the Islanders. The most surprising team, a team that I can think can make some noise, are the Rangers. And if they get their goaltending going, and it looks like they've settled everything, all the noise around the team, I think the Rangers can make a run at a playoff spot, and the Devils, I just don't know. I didn't know 2 years ago. I didn't know last year, and they were on weird ends of the spectrum there. So I'll leave the Devils as a, you got to show me, but the Rangers they make me excited. I like watching the Rangers.
Yeah. And Mika Zibanejad hasn't really played well. Right. Kreider hasn't really played great. So I think the upside for the Rangers is better than the Devils for sure. Now, as I look at it, the Islanders, they're a team I don't want to face in the playoffs. If they get to the playoffs with mm-hmm. Barry Trotz, who's a great coach, like we already mentioned, they're pests. You know, they shut it down defensively. If the Islanders can sneak in there and I'm a team in the mix in the playoffs, I don't want to face the Islanders.
Okay, we're a month into the National Hockey League season and they're all about the same. I'm going to loop back in the end of month two and see if there's some separation. Once you start playing everybody within your division, it's hard to separate yourself mm-hmm. and because every year you're splitting games or you're taking, so you may have the number of the Rangers, but you can't beat the Devils and all that kind of stuff. So let's loop back on that. I have a point to make to you though. When we started this project, the Chirp with Darren Millard and Robert Bob Bender. We knew that we wanted to be informative. You told me that we had to be entertaining. We had to be different. But did you ever envision that this podcast would be good for people, like really, really beneficial to their performance?
You know, I had high expectations for the podcast. I didn't realize that. I think I know where you're going. We'll call it the Chirp Bump.
Chirp Bump, yeah.
Explain to the listeners.
Okay, John Cooper, our first ever guest, doesn't have Nikita Kucherov. No problem. One of the best players in the game. They're in first place. Grooving. All kinds of massaging to their team during the offseason. Salary cap. First place. Rolling along. Guest two, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Winnipeg, 4-2-1 since the trade. And that's before Pierre-Luc Dubois even played a game. And I will give the Chirp the credit for the for Pierre-Luc Dubois for getting out of quarantine. I'm even going that far. He may not have got out of quarantine without us.
Well, we're pretty influential voices. You're a pretty influential voice, not only in your home country of Canada, but across the entire globe, Darren.
I know. And in Winnipeg, I carry significant weight in Winnipeg. And now we've got Connor Garland, a big Tom Brady fan. And what happens? The Bucks go out and win their second Super Bowl, but first in almost 20 years. And Connor went with Brady from Boston, from the Patriots, over to the Buccaneers. And now he's enjoying success. And he played great the day after we recorded the interview.
And Connor Garland is the best player in the National Hockey League that many play fans don't know about.
Right.
This guy on the West Coast playing in Arizona, he's like Matt Barzell. He's always in the mix, always part of the play. He's always carrying the puck. He's a feisty player. I love Connor Garland. I'm so glad that we got him on the program here, because fans, you need to listen to him and you need to watch him, because he's a really exciting player.
He gets under your skin. He can produce points. He is a great story. We know Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Now Connor Garland's chasing his own silver trophy. He's blossomed since turning pro and overcome some hard times. And he is just a guy that covers a lot of ground. And the interview was your idea, Bob, and I can't thank you enough, because this just offered a different angle to a guy that that likes to stir it up, but plays for one of the top 10 penalty minute leaders of all time, and he plays the game in a way that sort of we all want to play, because we like chirping in our men's league. We like scoring goals. We like doing, like, stirring it up and success along the way.
Yeah, and Connor does all of that sort of stuff, and you get into it with the interview. Enough teasing of the interview, right? Let's get to him.
Okay, we'll talk number 83. Where does that come from? Height. Is he really as tall as what it says? And the piano. Stay tuned for the piano. It's Connor Garland on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Do you have a Tampa Bay TB12 sweater to go along with your Patriots sweater, or like, how are you handling this whole thing?
I usually just wear the TB12 shirt. So I have one that says LFG, one that has six on it for Army Super Bowls he has, and then just the TB12 one. So I went to their gym a bunch a couple summers ago in Foxborough, Mass, and had some hats and stuff. And I still drink a lot of their stuff. So I'll be rooting for him, yeah, for sure this week.
So did you already take your health that to that nth of seriousness, or was that something that you saw him doing and you thought, oh, I'll explore this?
Yeah, I was very fortunate. We had a trainer in Tucson in the American League my first year, who ended up leaving and taking a job in Foxborough with TB12. And
no way.
Yeah. So it worked out. So he went there, and I remember they had a preseason game in Foxborough, and he just said, come on in, you know, come to the gym, see what it's all about. And, you know, go to the game. And I went there and I kind of, you know, listened to what they were saying and what their thought was. And I loved it. So I kind of jumped on, and it's helped me a ton. I think could help a lot of people. And obviously he's 43 and still producing. It's crazy. So it's not all what he eats. He is the best, but it definitely helps.
So you've met him, you've had some interactions?
I've never met him. No,
no.
I've been in the gym the same time as Gronk and Giselle, but would never say hi. I'm too quiet. So
Hey, when was the last time you asked somebody for an autograph, and who was it?
That's a good question. God, I don't know. That's a good question. I would probably say one of my favorite pitcher was Bronson Arroyo for the Red Sox. So probably Bronson Arroyo. I wasn't a big guy with autographs, but if I had like a favorite athlete, yeah, it would probably be him.
What about selfie? I guess that's the new autograph.
Yeah, no, I was too old. Yeah, that still makes me a little uncomfortable. It's odd. It's so, the camera's so close. So I don't know. I'd rather have someone hold it and take the picture. But yeah, no, that was past. I wasn't young enough to. If I asked anyone, you know, they would. I might be a little too old.
How do you say your hometown's name? Because I've been going over it, and I didn't want to ask anybody until I got your answer.
You want to give it a try?
I've blown it. Stick to you? Or I know.
Situate.
See, yeah, I knew there was something silent in there somewhere, but Situate. No, I can't say that on the podcast. Yeah. Situate.
Yeah, okay. It's hard. There's a ton in Massachusetts. What's we're known for? You see a town, and unless you're from there, you're only going to know how to pronounce it. So yeah, Situate.
So what was it like having a neighbor that also plays in the National Hockey League? Did you go to Ryan Donato's house more? Did he come to your house? And who carried the net to the other house for road hockey?
We didn't play road hockey much. It was actually knee hockey. And we would play all the time. We were so competitive. So we'd probably, I'd say more at his house, but we split. We were about a 4-minute ride. So now it's golf and fishing and, you know, we compete in that. So it's whoever has the most fish in the night or whoever beats each other in golf. But yeah, as a kid, it was awesome. Obviously he's a very close friend, but you know, it helps when you have someone do so well. Cause, as long as, you know, I'm rooting for him to do really well, but you also are competitive and you want to be just as good as him. And I'm sure it's the same for him. So it's awesome. Now we're getting older and, you know, we both have dinner with our girlfriends all the time. And it was great growing up next to him.
Were you chasing him or did you guys kind of flip flop every year? How did it work?
That's a good question. You know, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you always think someone's doing better than you. So, I mean, he got drafted. I got passed over the year and he went second round to Boston. So couldn't have gone any much better for him that day. So, no, but he's a terrific player. And now it's just, you know, we're more helping each other. We train a lot in the summer together and, you know, he'll rent ice. It'll just be us two. And we just talk about what we see in games and how to help each other get better. And, you know, when we play against each other, obviously, you know, you hope your team wins, but, you know, I always hope to see him have success.
How much hockey do you watch?
You know, I'm probably like any fan. If I see some players I love watching and their team's on, you know, I'll watch. If Edmonton's on, for sure, I'm going to watch. Toronto, you know, Chicago with Patrick Kane and Boston. There's some players you don't want to miss their game. So, you know, I think when you see those teams on, and they're on a lot, so I like that. But, yeah, anytime you see some big names on, you know, I'll tune in.
When will we see you do the lacrosse move?
Never.
Really?
Yeah, I'm anti-lacrosse move. I'm the old class. I don't like that. But, you know, I think if anyone for our team is going to do it, it'll probably be Kels. He does it pretty well. But I want to get the puck behind the net a lot in the game. And if I get it behind there and I try something like that and nothing comes of it, I'll be pretty disappointed.
That's the thing. Like, we're such a conservative sport that it's kind of like always thought to be this hot dog move. But then I see Sid try it. Now it's mainstream.
Now, yeah. It's a good point. He did. When I saw him do it, I was a little surprised. He doesn't seem like somebody that would do it, but he did a little different, used his backhand, which was nice. But yeah, I don't know. I just, whenever I'm in, you know, in tight to the net, it's such a hard place to get. So I would never want to waste it on something that I don't even know if I could pull off.
How difficult is that skill though? Like even for somebody like you?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I don't try it. I don't try to work at it. I know I'll never use it, so I don't want to, but Kels can, he does it pretty effortlessly. If he's in practice and he gets behind the net, sometimes he'll pull it off. And I've seen it enough where he might tell me he did it, but I'm like, I get it. I've seen it 10 times now. So you don't need to keep telling me I see it.
If you did it and missed, what do you think Rick Tocchet would say to you?
Wouldn't be pleased. I think he'd, I think we might have a film session the next
day. Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's just give me the, there is enough of that. Just, you know, so let's simplify. So I don't think I wouldn't give him that. I mean, I do enough stuff where we have to keep it simple. So we don't need it. We don't need to be trying it.
Were you too young to remember him as a player?
Yes. But you know, I'm someone who loved watching old games. You know, I liked it when there was, you know, obviously nowadays it's so fast and fun, but it was also entertaining to watch the hooking and holding and see what the top players could do while getting hooked and held. So I've seen a lot of his games, you know, when he was with Lemieux in Pittsburgh or in Philly, but you know, I've obviously YouTubed a lot of his fights and stuff. He was kind of the complete package. So, you know, our bench, we have Phil Housley too, and Corey Stillman. So we got quite a good bench. But yeah, you know, I've watched a lot of his clips. He was a complete player. So someone that a lot of people could probably learn from.
Well, he's going to be top 10 forever in penalty minutes in the National Hockey League because nobody racks him up anymore. So that it's got to be a little, I don't know whether it's intimidating or not, but that guy calling the shots.
Yeah. Well, just to know, you know, how hard he played. Right. So it's like, you know, if he was out there, you know what he would be doing. So, you know, you're going to have to compete when you're on his bench. And I like that. I love that, you know, we got a guy who earns our respect and he played and he won cups and he's done it all. So you like playing for somebody like that. But again, when you watch it, he does have all those penalty minutes, but I think he had 1 year, he had like 46 goals, 68 assists and 232 penalty minutes. You'll never see it again. So that's quite the year.
When I think of your game, two things come to mind, speed and skill. Those are one thing. And then the tenaciousness and in your face. And having been able to watch you those four straight games against Vegas, really got to dial in on your game. What do you consider sort of your calling cards of your game?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I just want to compete. I think, you know, I love to compete, whatever it is, if it's cards or golf or anything, hockey especially. So you just love to compete, and that's, you know, if I can chip in offensively, which you know, is probably the big part of my game, is being on the offensive side of the puck. But you know, if I'm not doing that, I want to be able to compete and, you know, like you said, be a little tenacious and, you know, being an agitator or whatever it is that can help our team win. But it's mostly just the competitive nature, and that takes over and you end up just finding a way to try to help your team win. So but yeah, obviously producing offense is a big part of it as well. Though,
were you always an agitator, or was it something that you worked into your game to get noticed and grab the attention?
I would say it's nothing I ever thought about, you know, okay, I'm going to go say something, or it just comes about. It's just unfortunate.
You're a natural chirper.
Yeah. I get hit, you know, and, you know, something gets me involved in the game, and then that's a way of staying involved in the game. So it's not like, you know, I go seek it out. But if I'm not having a good game, I try to get involved somewhere else. And maybe it's saying something, getting hit, getting pushed around, and then you're emotionally involved in the game and you got your legs going. So, but yeah, I've never thought like, oh, I'm going to go out there and say something. It just happens. It's the way it's always been. I'm sure my sisters and my two parents would say the same thing in the household. It's just, there's constant talking.
Did, have your parents or your sisters ever watched a game and said, hey, Connor, like, why did you do that? What did you say to him?
Well, the last game against Anaheim, they were all questioning what I said. I don't think even Gibson heard what I said. I didn't even.
What did you say?
It's a long story. I wasn't even talking about him. I was talking about the defenseman that iced the puck, and I said something like, you know, tough play or something. So he didn't even listen. He was in his own world there and just and snapped. But he was talking a lot during the game too, which I have no problem with. He's one of the best goaltenders in the league. So he can do whatever he wants out there. He's phenomenal. So he was chirping and I gave it back and we both got a penalty for it. But yeah, my parents were just like, what was the need? You know, there really wasn't a need there, which they were right.
Who texted you first, mom or dad?
Dad. Yeah, yeah. Mom usually asleep by the time they're in Boston, so they're 3 hours behind. So mom's usually asleep by the third, but dad will stay up and shoot me a text. But my sister actually was the first to text me. She's a nurse and she does night shift, so she sees it and she's just like, you know, not surprised, I would say, was her reaction.
Number 83, why?
They gave it to me. I came into camp and I had 83. I've worn 8 my whole life in junior in Moncton and then growing up in Boston. So I always had 8 and then came here and had 83. And then if I had got called up probably 2 weeks earlier, I don't know if you can switch numbers, but Schmaltz came in and took 8 and I got called up like the next day. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I have 83 for life now. I love it. I think it's a good fit and not many people have worn it. So it's unique. That's the best part about it.
Okay. Do you know how many people in the league wear number 83 right now?
I would say 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5.
Five.
Do you know who any of them are?
Nieto.
Yeah.
Beagle.
Yeah.
Myself.
And there's two, like, there's Lamico from Florida. He's just played a few games. And Carson Kuhlman from Boston.
I knew Kuhlman, yes. Okay. I did know that.
Kind of cool, though, because it does kind of, it does fit you. I don't know whether that makes sense or not, but it does suit you.
You're right. It suits me. It's kind of like, you know, you didn't pick it, and it's natural. It's a natural fit. So I like that. I think if I could pick not 8, probably 63. I liked Marshawn growing up, and I think he has the same thing. It's a unique number, I'm sure. I don't even know if he picked it. So it just, that just fits him. When you think of him, you think of his number. So I like that about it.
You were all world coming out of junior, and then you called that first year, like, I don't know whether the term was a waste of time, or I can't remember the exact quote, but you weren't happy with that first year in Tucson. Who was most influential in getting you over that hump?
I would probably say Steve Poffan, who's now the head coach in Tucson, and he's very much during that. He was like, I believe, assistant of player development at the time, and he would come down to Tucson, and I'd be getting scratched every night. And if I went in, I'd play about 3 minutes. And he was just there every day for me. He'd stay out because I wanted to keep getting better. And unfortunately, it wasn't happening at the time. So he would stay out after practice for an hour or 30 minutes, as long as I needed, and just work on stuff with me because I had to find a way to get better somehow. So he would be there all day with me. And the next year, he got promoted to assistant coach, and was the best thing to ever happen for me. Him and Mike Van Ryan were on our bench with John Slaney, and they were awesome. Video every day, after practice, whatever you needed. And, you know, they made me an NHL player. I think you go to the American League, you know, with tools that got you there, and then you're there for a reason. And if you have a great coaching staff and guys like, you know, Van Ryan and Potsy and Slaney, they can help you get over the top. And that's what happened.
Did you think then that you would be where you are now? I'm sure you hoped, but.
I think I've always had belief. I was undrafted for a year. I went passed over. I never made World Juniors or anything like that. And, you know, I still always had a belief. I think, you know, it might be, you know, it's not wishful thinking, but yeah, I guess the chances were probably pretty low, but to me, they were always, you know, 100%. I never didn't think I would make it. So I just assumed, you know, it might have to be a long path, or, you know, if I was 28 or 30, I would get there. That's how I felt. So fortunate I got my crack at it, you know, my third year, and, you know, took off from there, and I've been able to stick ever since. But yeah, I think even in the lowest times in the American League, when, you know, I was getting scratched every night, I still didn't have a doubt that, you know, one day I would be able to get a chance to prove that I can play in the NHL.
What was your welcome to the NHL moment? A hit, a goal, or going up against somebody?
Yeah, I think I've said this before. My first shift talk, very nice of them to let me start. I think that's a moment, you know, you never forget. And, you know, I kind of didn't want to sit on the bench there, you know, for 3 or 4 minutes waiting to get your first shift. And I got out there and jumped in on the forecheck and tried to hit Burns, and he didn't move. So I said, oof, he's, you know, and then he turns up ice and he's the first guy on the rush, and I'm back checking. I was like, this is going to be a different game. So, yeah, it was just a learning experience right off the bat. I was like, this isn't going to be like the A when you can go in and just, you know, get someone off balance or anything. This guy's a player. So it was eye opening right from the start.
That beard has its own HockeyDB account, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still like, it's crazy. And then he doesn't wear a helmet in warmups, and he has, I think it's like a bun on top or whatever. So he's, yeah. It's just frightening how big he is on his skates when he lines up next to you, and he has the long beard. He's got the hair coming out. He's scary looking, and he plays mean, and he's still a top D in the league. So yeah, he's the full package.
Hey, did you fudge your height and weight growing up and in junior and the American Hockey League at all?
No, I would never lie. It says 5'10". I don't know how. I didn't put that in. I would never lie. It is what it is. I can't tell you 5'10" and meet you in person. You're not going to say, you'll realize then. So, I used to, when I would go on tours for college, the only thing I would do is put little things in my shoes. So maybe the coach.
Really? You know,
yeah. Whoever the college coach was, I was tiny. I was 15 years old. I was probably about 5'5". And I remember they had Alex Took, who plays in Vegas.
Yeah.
And he was in BC the day before. And then I came in, I was like, they must be thinking, what are we doing with this kid? He's there the day before. He's an absolute, you know, mountain. And then they got me, like, why would they ever give me a scholarship? So yeah, I would wear little things in my shoes just to get me to 5'6". That was the only help I could get.
Were they actual lifts or they were just something that you had nearby that you'd throw in your shoes?
Yeah, little lifts. I think they were for somebody in my family who had like bad feet, you know, and they had to put them in the shoe and they ended up lifting me. So, and then of course I had boots that were like this big. So anything just to get over that 5'5" mark.
What do you like more, passing for a goal or scoring a goal?
The feeling of scoring a goal in the NHL is, you know, the best feeling. I think, you know, winning a game or, you know, winning a playoff series, like those are the two best. And then right behind it, just that instant, you know, feeling of scoring a goal. So I'll take that any day, but, you know, making plays is what I love to do too. So, you know, but yeah, the feeling of scoring a goal is great.
You're going to have to change up the monologue when you're beaking people because you're playing everybody so often.
Yeah. I gotta stop. I can't, they're not going to forget. And again, they're big and I'm not, so they'll get the last laugh if I keep it up. So yeah, you might have to calm down a little bit.
Okay, I saw you doing an interview. It was during the pause last spring, and there was a – I don't know whether you remember this. It was a Zoom conference. There was a bird chirping in the background. This is what I remember about that interview. And you and Rich Nairn, your buddy with the Arizona Coyotes, were going back and forth going, Rich, is that your bird? No, I thought it was your bird. So anyway, what I got from that interview was you took the piano growing up, and then you bought a keyboard. So have you made from last summer to now, have you made any progress on the keyboard and the piano?
Not much. I think you always think, okay, I'll go home and I'll play for an hour or something. And I never get around to it. I just end up napping or something. But yeah, there's a piano in the hotel here in St. Louis. And I went and played a song yesterday, but it's still the same. It's not getting any better. And that's my fault. I actually saw it yesterday, the piano. I was like, you know, I got to really dial it in here because I want to be able to play more than just, you know, one or two songs. So I gotta dial it in soon.
What do you play?
My mom loves that I can play Lean on Me. So I'll play that. And then I play The Entertainer a lot, but not the full on, you know, Scott Joplin all around the keyboard. I play a kind of a smaller version of it, but it still sounds the same.
This has been a lot of fun. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you down the road, a lot more of you this season, and continue great success.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're sitting in your car, you're listening to that, you're working out, you're Connor Garland's going through his life and his history, and I'm going, how can a guy be that good at so many things? A musician, he's an athlete, he hangs out with famous people. I mean, is there anything that the guy doesn't touch that is like off the charts? And I'm just trying to make like oatmeal. Well,
when I heard that his one of the songs he does on the keyboard or the piano was The Entertainer, that doesn't seem like an easy song to master or to play. So I got to tip my cap to him on that one.
Well, and he's just in St. Louis, and he stops by the piano and tries. Like, those people impress me, but, and this is just my personality, frustrates me. Like, why can't I have one skill like that? And good on the Arizona Coyotes, by the way, for switching on the fly, because their next series was canceled and they played the extra two games against the St. Louis Blues. That's awesome. Everybody in NHL scheduling and the Coyotes and the Blues for doing that. But four games in the same build, like they've played almost as many games in St. Louis as they have in Arizona right now. So that's cool. But the lacrosse goal kind of thing, we got into it. And I loved what he said, like Sid makes it mainstream right now, and watching that. So that's sort of a little bit of confirmation to my belief. I mean, anybody that says it's a hot dog move or a illegal move, you're just clouded. You got to have some fun here, because there's hot doggers over here. And I'm like holding way to the left. And then there's Sidney Crosby over here. Sid's not a hot dog, but Sid will not turn a blind eye to an opportunity to score a goal. And if it's within the rules, Sid will do it. And Sid did it. He recognizes that it's a legitimate skill and a way to beat the opposition, take advantage of the opposition. And he did it on his backhand too, by the way. I can't reiterate that enough. So it's just, can we stop with the controversy about whether the cross style, my buddy John Shannon doesn't think it should count because you're carrying the puck and the stick. And John, like, sorry, if people from your era like the Bugsies and the Malones and all those guys from 1925. John, that's cheap, John. I'm sorry. No, but the guys from your era could have done that with their straight blade of sticks. They would have done it.
Darren, honestly, I didn't know it was controversial until you texted or tweeted something out, and then a ton of responses came in. John Shannon said that the lacrosse goal maneuver should not be legal. And then I was actually surprised to hear Connor Garland. He kind of scoffed at it also, like, you know what? I'm an old school guy. It's not for me. I'm not never going to try it. Listen, your point is right on the money as far as I'm concerned. If the greatest player of our generation right now, which is Sidney Crosby, and you could argue, is he the best player in the league right now? I think all around he is. He tried it. And I know he had his own little twist on it, the little backhand lacrosse goal. If he tried it, I think it's fair game. I think it's legitimate. And listen, any great player, they're not going to pass up on an opportunity to score a goal. If they can get it in the puck and within the rules, it's fine. I have no issue with it.
Goalies, figure it out. It's not more dangerous. Like, I know the stick's up high, but you follow through with a stick when you take a shot. Like, sometimes the conservatism of us drives me wild. You know, there was a time, and I'll go back way back in my time, I watched Kyle Wellwood, and a great skilled player playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He tried between the legs play, either on a breakaway or in front of the net, and he didn't play again that game. Pat Quinn was his coach, and I love Pat, but there was that point where, like, hey, kids, you don't do that in our game. And now between the legs is commonplace. Everybody does it, and it's a real way to reach the puck and gain some leverage. And I hope that's the last time we have to have a talk about it. Please.
Calm down. Okay. We still have a little bit more of a show to do, so just calm down. But absolutely, I feel your pain, because we should be celebrating the maneuver.
Yes.
We should be celebrating the creativity of these younger players. And I'm not going to call John Shannon a dinosaur. I'm not going to do it.
I disagree with him. You disagree with him.
I disagree with John, respectfully.
Like the alley-oop in basketball, like, we're going to take that out. It's a showman move, mm-hmm. but we're still going to do it. Bat flip in baseball. I love the bat flip. I know it's a little more controversial, but I love it. What do we have for Chirp Mallard, hashtag Chirp Mallard this week?
This week's Chirp Mallard, a few good ones came across the board. Let's start with this one. This is from Jogger the Blogger at _ Jogger Blogger.
Nice name. A good handle.
He says, that's a good handle. He says, what's a drastic change to the league you would like to see implemented?
Well, now that we've taken away the only playing within your division answer, because that's happening, I can't go along that road. I would say I've always been fascinated that on a delayed penalty and the team scores, that the player doesn't have to serve the minor penalty. I would like that to happen, even if we score on a 6-on-5 because the goalie goes to the bench. I want the player to actually go in and serve the penalty and my team get the power play. I want that to happen.
That would be a drastic rule change for sure.
Yeah. But punishable. If you're going to commit a foul, you serve the time.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. And especially with the way goals are scored now, right? You would think so, you know, back in the day, right? Maybe they had that rule change or that rule in place because they didn't want to see a team pile up the goals. Like, okay, one penalty, they score a goal, then they go on the power play, they score another goal. But in this day and age, goals are scored and teams come back all the time from 3-0 deficits. I wouldn't have an issue with it.
I'd also like the penalty to last the full 2 minutes. So you can score as many goals as you want on one power play. That's actually been talked about over the years. Another one is the option. So my team gets a power play. I'd like the option to go 4-on-3 or 5-on-4, because 4-on-3, when you see an overtime, it's almost a guaranteed goal. 4-on-3 overtime. There's something different about it that makes it highly effective. I wouldn't mind the option. You know, imagine going over to the coach and Pete DeBoer or Claude Julien going, okay, we go on 5-on-4 or 4-on-3. And then the other team has to react right there. That would be cool.
That would be a good one. Here is one that I thought of off the cuff here. We were talking about this before the show. In the third period, say there's about a minute and a half left in the game and a player commits a penalty, I think the game should be extended for the length of that power play. So it's a 2-minute power play. There's a minute 30 left in the game. You should extend the game 30 seconds. So the team, right, that goes on the power play has the full 2 minutes of the power play.
Yeah, because if you're down a goal.
Yeah.
And time runs out. And the other team is like, I'll commit as many penalties as I can in the last 10 seconds, last 30 seconds around there just to preserve.
Hey, I think the GM meetings, I'm not so sure with this year, but usually they're in March down in Boca. I've been lucky enough to make that trip down to Boca, right? I think we need to get a couple of these rule changes on the radar here for the GMs because they'll take the chirp seriously.
Do you think Coley Campbell would put the chirp on the agenda? Because I'm always on Coley about, can I get the agenda? Can I get the agenda? If I'm on the agenda, if you and I are on that paper that says what they're going to talk about, we'd be able to get it.
I think we have to get it on the radar. We have a couple good rule changes here, drastic changes that might be better for the sport in the long term, right?
Yeah, well, we're generating offense. What else we got on Chirp Mallet? Because I like throwing these out here because we get some interesting, sometimes like stirring it up responses.
Well, we got some real interesting ones when you tweeted it out in the middle of the halftime show Sunday night with the Super Bowl and the weekend, and everyone has their opinions on the weekend. I could tell you, we got some interesting tweets at us that we will not be able to cover on this program. This is a
Can I just say one thing about the weekend?
Go ahead.
One thing. Tyler Toffoli and the weekend went to the same high school in Scarborough at the same time. So really? There's a hockey connection to the halftime show and the weekend. Yeah.
Very nice nugget. There you go. Very nice nugget. All right. So this is from Canadian Boy at Canada Opinions. Darren, how would you rate the four NHL divisions? He lives in Canada, obviously. He loves the wide open North Division, he says, but he wonders how that North Division compares to the other three.
I would say that the gap between the teams, certainly with Vancouver right now giving up a lot of goals and Ottawa giving up a ton of goals, the gap between the teams that are hitting the ball, hitting the ground running and firing that puck at top form is bigger. So there's way more offense and, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl and Matthews and Marner. And you've got Besser and Hughes. Like there's so many great players. Tyler Toffoli is lining it up right now in the Canadian division. Just so much more offense, but they have to, right? Because the goals are 30% less in Canada because of the exchange rate. So they have to score more goals than the teams in the West or the East. That's just the way it works in the National Hockey League. I wonder which division we would consider the most conservative. The West, to me, in the games that I've watched, would be closer to the NHL's regular season. Just doesn't have that wide open flair that we've seen. I think that the from a flat out like competitive every night, I'm loving what I'm seeing from the East. And the Central, I'm still finding my way in it. But I would say closer to the real, what we normally see during a regular season is the West. I love what we're seeing from the North.
What do you make of the Vancouver Canucks, Darren?
If I can answer that, then I would be serving a quarantine and I would be standing beside Travis Green right now, because I'm sure he's looking for the same answer. Like they were a good bounce away from going to the conference final last year. And that's through losing their goaltender, and they can't keep the puck out of the net right now. And Jacob Markstrom is talented, but they're not a lot different with Jacob Markstrom instead of Braden Holtby and Thatcher Demko right now. That team has, I don't know whether they need a shakeup. I know the blue line's a little bit different, but it's a real struggle right now. And the problem is, like, they've looked like world beaters against Ottawa. Like, that saved their season. Mm-hmm. And then against Montreal and Toronto, it's not even close. I don't know whether it's just you're going to have to suck it up for 56 games and move on and turn the page this year, Vancouver fans, but it's not fun right now. And there's some unrest within that locker room.
Toronto just steamrolled them and they play again. They played again. They play again Monday night. We'll see if Vancouver can get a game or not, but Vancouver. And then I have to tee up with this. I'm sorry, I'm off the Chirp Mallard.
No.
I have to scratch my head and wonder why the Edmonton Oilers Kenny Holland, the GM, highly respected. How does he go into this season without making a goalie acquisition? They go in with Koskinen and Mike Smith, and they are getting crushed. The goaltending is killing that team. And I'm looking at all the moves or the moves that weren't made throughout the across the NHL. And I have to say, you know, I think Edmonton dropped the ball going with these two goaltenders.
Well, nobody expected Mike Smith to be hurt. So you've got a 1-2 punch there. It may not be 1 and 1A, it might be 2 and 2A, but at least you had two goalies. Mm-hmm. And then when Mike Smith got hurt, I think it just derailed everything. The good thing is they're still in it. Like, boy, without Draisaitl and McDavid having all world seasons, you wonder if they would be buried already. There's another couple of other things. Like Evan Bouchard is a player, top pick a couple of years ago. I'd love to see him inserted in the lineup along with changes in the goal, just to give it a different flavor. I know they're missing their best defenseman. I realize that. And the goaltending has been sideways. But surely in this era of parity, they can keep things closer. What told me that things weren't right there was when McDavid had the great game and Draisaitl had the 6 points. Like they were awesome in that game against Ottawa, and Ottawa still scored 5 goals. That's still, I know you walked away with the win, but you're right. They can't play like this and score like this all season long to make up for the mistakes. Whether they tried to make plans, I know that they talked to Jimmy Howard, but Jimmy would have been trying to get his game in order too if he would have went up. That will be, if they can't figure it out, the goaltending will be questioned. And Koskinen has been overplayed already. Mm-hmm. I'd love to give who do you think is closer to turning it around? I'd say Edmonton, but Vancouver. We'll see if they can settle. When you're going like this, Bobby, and the games are coming fast and furious, like Vancouver has. They played more games than anybody. It can unravel pretty darn quickly.
Yeah, it could snowball. I agree with you. Edmonton can turn it around, I think, quicker or more efficiently than Vancouver.
Yeah.
Last one for the Chirp Mallard segment before we put a bow on this. And this comes from Drop Poo. This Twitter account is actually an amazing Twitter account. It's "Don't Render a Pickle Useless. We educate and train food handlers on how to properly serve side pickles without rendering them useless," which is an incredible Twitter initiative. Like they're like, it's like a civil rights movement for
pickles.
What a cause. Exactly. So I could get behind that. And he had a tweet at us. What's more impressive? Gritty painting, the guy who painted Gritty during the course of the Flyers game, I believe it was last week, or
Benjamin Davis was that guy's name.
Yeah, Benjamin Davis. Thank you. Or the Ken Dryden snow sculpture, and why? And I don't know if you saw the snow sculpture, but that was an incredible, that was awesome.
The thing was like 11 or 10 feet high. Yeah. It was awesome. More impressive, I would say the snow sculpture, because you're putting a lot of work into something that's just going to disappear. And my point of view, I'm not putting that much work into something that's just going to melt away. And it's just going to disappear, and all I'm going to have is a photograph of it.
Yeah.
The painting of Gritty is great. And you know what I learned about the painting that Benjamin did was, you know, Gritty's belly button changes color.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I saw that in the story, and I didn't realize that either. Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned something from that. There's some fun artwork from it. It's impressive. You can hang it on the wall, but if I'm going to be the artist and do something, I'm not doing the snow sculpture, because that's going away. It's that's a waste of my time. I love that. I think Derek Parker, I wrote his name down. Derek Parker is the person's name, because I had that written down for another show that I'm doing. And wow, impressive. Like the painting, everything about it, 5-foot net behind him. And then you have 2 warm days and it's gone.
Yeah,
at least the Benjamin stuff lasts.
Yep. Within 48 hours, it's gone. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it like that, but
I'm lazy. I want if I'm going to do something, I want it to stick around for more than a season.
Fair enough. And I'm just so impressed with this Twitter account. You have to go check it out. It's DRAPU, all separated with underscores. And I'll tell you what, it is an unbelievable cause. I'm going to get behind it. I'm going to follow it. Drop Poo, saving the side pickle. So listeners, take a look at it.
I'm a big fan of the side pickle too.
Me too. And sometimes they get mistreated, especially here delivery, New York City. They're you know, a side pickle that's buried underneath hot French fries, you're rendering it useless. And that's what this Twitter account is pointing out.
And it kills the fries.
Yes, it does too. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to move on before I get myself into trouble on this one too. That's episode 3. You feeling good? You all right? Everything, have we gotten into trouble yet?
No, I think we're good. I think the Mahogany Row folks, you know, they're all very happy with the chirp, and we just need to keep it rolling. Listeners, leave a review, subscribe, tell your friends, check us out on YouTube, hit play, support us, because we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to doing this every single week, and hopefully you're enjoying the interviews, and we're going to get a variety of other folks on in the coming weeks. So we appreciate your listenership thus far, but tell your friends, tell your family, and let's get the word out.
Now that I'm an employee with the National Hockey League or working in conjunction with the National Hockey League, how do I get my Girl Guide cookies that my daughter's selling into the lunchroom? That's the big, big pull here that I need you to do.
Well, we can make that happen, but we're not right now. We're all working remotely, Darren. So,
okay, we'll send your orders in.
Okay. All right. Yes, send me. I'll support the Girl Scouts for sure. I love the Samoas. Give me some Thin Mints all day.
Yeah, if I don't get 3 orders from Bill Daly right now, I'll know he, 1, didn't listen to the end of the podcast, and 2, isn't fully on board with the chirp, but I'm sure I will. Or else I'll get a call from Bill saying, stop talking about me on the chirp. For Robert Bob Bender, and of course, Connor Garland, and thanks to the Arizona Coyotes. Thanks for listening to The Chirp with Darren Millard. We'll chat with you next week.